Amen. Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, page number 978 in your pew Bibles. Page 978, Ephesians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, the children ages 3 to 8 are free to be dismissed for the children's Bible lesson with, I believe today, with Miss Kina. This is sermon number 21 in the preaching series through the book of Ephesians. And this morning's sermon is the same as last week's. I'll just add part two. Last week's sermon title is, and what it is again this week, Marriage as Greenhouse, Where Sin is Exposed and Love Grows. Now, last week it was part one. It was focused on the duties of wives. This week, it's on the duties of husbands. This is all in the context of Ephesians chapter 5, where there is conversation, writing Paul, the Holy Spirit, through Paul's pen, describes what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. And then it gets a little bit narrow here in verses 22 and following, what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit in the home. What it looks like for wives to be filled with the Spirit, and what it looks like for husbands to be filled with the Spirit. Wives, again, what we looked at last week is noticed here in verse 22. It's for them to be filled with the Spirit. It looks like submissiveness and honor and respect to their husbands. And what we'll look at this morning, for men, when they're filled with the Spirit, they will love their wives as Christ loved the church. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, reading through the end of the chapter. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Lord, please open our eyes now that we might behold wonderful things from this, your word. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week I stated the title for this sermon, which I've already gone over with you again this morning, but one church member came up to me after the service and said that she wrote it down incorrectly. Of course, what I said was that marriage is a greenhouse where sin is exposed and where love grows. And she said, I wrote down where sin explodes and love grows. And we chuckled, and you know, that kind of works too, doesn't it? Sin does explode in marriage. It is exposed in marriage, and love grows. Why is that? Why do we see our sin in marriage? In part, it's because men and women run on different types of fuel. You know, for example, you could say men run on diesel and women run on regular. Ephesians 5 teaches us here, men run on respect and women run on love. You know, you think about it. Books by women authors that are intended for women. they're about relationships. The relationship is the plot most of the time. Of course, the plot is pretty similar. They meet each other. They don't like each other. But then they kind of like each other again then at the end and get married and live happily ever after. Books by male authors that are intended for men, they're about the mission. You know, winning the war, finding the hidden treasure. And if a woman enters that story, what's her role? Typically, it's to help him with his mission. Some would say, she's just there for decoration, to look good. Well, maybe so, but then she's the motivation to win the war. She's the motivation to find the hidden treasure. All of this, I think, takes us back to the Garden of Eden, where we see that man was made to tend the garden. Woman was made to tend the gardener. And we need to be reminded of this from time to time. We're forgetful. We're self-centered. And so we're reminded here. Men, love your wives. Wives, respect your husband. And the fact that this is in here, it reminds us that that's what men need. And that's what women need. So let's look at this by looking at five verbs in this passage. And they're drawn from Christ's actions toward His bride, the church, which if you're here and you're new to Christianity, you're kind of checking it out or something like that, that's what the church is considered. The church is considered the bride of Christ, the bride, Jesus' bride. And so that's what we'll be noticing here as we work through these five verbs in this passage. First of all, we see and learn that husbands are to love. Husbands are to love. Again, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Now, sometimes people will think that the main message of the Bible about the subject of marriage is wives submit, husbands rule. That's not what it says. It's husbands, love your wives. Which leads, of course, to the question, what is love? I recently heard it said that C.S. Lewis defines love as that men and women define love differently. Women define love as taking trouble away from others, where men define love as not causing trouble for others. And I think that's true. You know, when men have trouble, we usually don't ask for help. Those of you who are younger won't get this, but there used to be a joke before there were smartphones with Google Maps and everything on the phone that a man would be lost and he'd have directions or he'd have a map and he'd be lost. But the big joke was that he would never pull over and say, hey, how do I find this spot? He would just keep going, keep turning, and it would end up worse and worse. Of course, that joke is kind of passe now because everybody has smartphones and you just plug it in, and of course then Siri or whoever is helping you get, I guess, where you need. But that's, you know, women define love as taking trouble away from others. Men define it as not causing for trouble for others. No wonder then there are oftentimes communication problems and issues in marriages, because the wife is saying, give me your trouble. The way I can love you best is by taking some of your trouble on myself. And the husband is saying, the way I can love you best is by not giving you any trouble. I don't know if C.S. Lewis is correct there. I certainly believe, though, that he's hitting close to home, because he defines love primarily as being concerned about someone else. And that's what is spoken of here in the second half of verse 25. Christ gave Himself up for her, His bride, the church. Love is that, giving yourself up for others. So the command here to husbands is not to have warm affections for your wife or to be romantically attracted to your wife. It is about actions, how you treat her. I like Doug Wilson's definition of love. He says, love is treating others lawfully from the heart. In other words, you don't treat others just kind of any old way you want to. You treat them the way the Bible says to treat them. And you do it from the heart, not just checking a box. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Now, that sounds really sweet. Husbands, love your wives. But do you realize how high that standard is to love your wife as Christ loves the church? You know, sometimes people will get mad at God for telling wives to submit. Look what He's telling the husbands. I mean, this impossibly high standard. Love your wife in the same way that Jesus loves the church. Love your wives, sacrifice for your wife in the same way that Jesus sacrificed His life for His bride, the church. That's the standard against which men, husbands, will be judged. That's a pretty high standard. And it can be discouraging even for men to think about that. But that's the standard against which husbands will be judged. And you see a partial judgment of that in 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 7 we read, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life." And here's the phrase, "so that your prayers may not be hindered." So this idea of living with your wives in an understanding way, loving your wives as Christ loved the church, is an incredibly high standard. Husbands, if you're a jerk, God won't hear your prayers. I mean, it's as clear as that. If you're a jerk to your wife, which makes sense. Why would God listen to the prayer of a man who treats his wife like she's a piece of dirt? You know, some husbands will complain about their wives. That's not love. I like what one author he wrote, "Husbands, don't tell me about your wife's problems. Don't tell me you don't love her anymore. You're not as far removed from your wife as God is from you, yet He loves you. You can love her." You're not as far removed from your wife as God is from you, yet He loves you. You can love her. Husbands, love your wives. Second, husbands are not only to love, husbands are to give. Again, verse 25, the second part there, "Christ gave Himself up for the church." This is the essence of a husband's love. It's sacrificial. Jesus gives of Himself. He gives us Himself. He sacrifices Himself. This is how husbands are to love, by giving of themselves, by sacrificing themselves, by dying to self, by giving to their wives. Now, let's just be honest. Most husbands are not going to have to die sacrificing their lives for their husbands. But we must die, in one sense, in a greater way, daily, to our flesh, to our selfishness, to our hobbies, to our schedule, to our time, to our ambitions, to an extent even. One wife told her husband, "Dear, I know that you're willing to die for me. You've told me that many times. But while you're waiting to die, could you just fill in some of the time helping me dry the dishes?" Husbands, by giving of yourself, you provide for your wife. And you can't take for yourself and at the same time give to your wife. You just can't do it. It doesn't work. The only way to give to your wife is by taking from yourself, giving from yourself. You know, for example, the drying the dishes comment. For a husband to help his wife dry the dishes or put away the food or do the dishes or whatever, or cook. A lot of husbands are better cooks than their wives. Whatever it is, but for the husband to give, provide for her, he's got to take away from himself. He's going to take away watching TV or surfing the internet or whatever. So you can't give to her without giving of yourself. Third, husbands are to sanctify. They're to love, they're to give, and they are to sanctify their wives. And that's what we see in verse 26, that he might sanctify her. And to sanctify something is to set it apart. And spiritually speaking, and that's of course the context here, to sanctify something is to make it wholly devoted to the Lord. Fully devoted to the Lord. And so when Jesus sanctifies us, He makes us wholly devoted to God. Completely devoted to the Lord. And husbands are to love their wives in such a way that they, the wife, becomes wholly devoted to the Lord. Husbands must win their wives to themselves, and in so doing they will win them to the Lord as the husband draws closer to the Lord. And no doubt some husbands feel like failures in this regard because their wives have a wife who doesn't love God, isn't devoted to Him. Maybe it was from early on in the marriage. You know, I don't know. It's certainly a complex matter, but you know, make this kind of idea a matter of prayer. Get a mentor to show you how, as you seek to walk with the Lord and bring your wife along in her relationship with the Lord. Husbands are to sanctify, make their wives wholly devoted to the Lord. That's what Jesus does with us. He makes us more and more, over the course of our lives, more and more devoted to the Lord. That's what we're called to do with our wives. Enable her to be more and more devoted to the Lord and to us. Number four, husbands are to cleanse. So they're to love, sanctify, they're to give, and then they are to cleanse. Which this verb here continues this idea of a husband sanctifying or making his wife holy. Which this really is, it's an additional way that we see God holds husbands responsible for the spiritual development and the spiritual trajectory in their homes. Which is why this goes back to what I call the sermon, Marriage is Greenhouse. Marriage is designed to develop you, to grow you in spectacular ways. It is designed to cleanse you. I know that I'm a little bit better man today because of Lisa's gentle rebukes to me through the years. And one that I remember so well, sometimes the kids would ask to do something. My kids probably remember this too. But my kids would ask to do something, and I didn't say no. But I didn't give it an enthusiastic yes. I was just kind of a grumpy, well, okay, I guess so. And I remember at some point in there, Lisa saying, you know, if you're not going to be enthusiastic, say no. Either say no or give it an enthusiastic yes. Don't be just such a grumpy, you know, all right. And that's made me a better man. I could go on and on with ways that she has provided gentle correction. Because sin is exposed in marriage with children, but also you learn to love. Marriage is a wonderful greenhouse. Husbands are to cleanse their wives. You know, we all come to God dirty. We all come to Him dirty. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you don't have to be a serial killer to be a sinner. Sin is impatience. Sin is anger. You're a sinner when you're stingy, when you're fearful, when you gossip, when you're selfish. We're all sinners, and we all need to be cleansed. And that happens both one time initially as our relationship with the Lord is established, and then it is continual and ongoing. Jesus calls that initial cleansing being born again. And then the continual cleansing happens as we worship the Lord, like we did earlier when Anton led us in the confession of sin, as we daily, in personal Bible reading and prayer, confess our sin. Jesus cleanses us with His blood, and He keeps it up with the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Husbands are to love, husbands are to give, husbands are to sanctify, husbands are to cleanse, and then finally, husbands are to present. They are to present their wives. As verse 27 here teaches us about how Jesus will present the church, so husbands are to present their wives. It says there in verse 27, Jesus will present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's the goal of this cleansing, sanctifying, giving and loving, is for the wife to be presented in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, holy, without blemish. I don't know if societies do these debutante balls anymore, but you know, there used to be these debutante balls, and young women, young daughters would be, quote, presented. And that wasn't a world I lived in, so I don't even really know what that means. But I know that, you know, they would be announced and they would put on the fancy dress and it'd be like their coming of age time or something like that. They were presented. That's sort of, I think, the idea here. Husbands are to present their wives in the same way that Jesus will present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And how does a husband do that? Well, the key words are there in verse 29. Nourish and cherish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes his own flesh. You nourish your own flesh. You cherish your own flesh, just as Christ does the church. Nourishment means that the husband makes sure his wife is not lacking in any physical, mental, emotional, spiritual way. She's got those needs met. And of course, it's talking about how we care for our bodies that way. You know, we rarely have trouble nourishing our own bodies, taking care of our own bodies. I mean, yeah, sure, there is anorexia, bulimia, other disorders and so forth where we don't care for ourselves. But mostly when we're hungry, we feed ourselves. When we're tired, we sleep. When we're stressed and need to be rejuvenated, we go on vacation. We know how to take care of our bodies. We nourish our bodies. We cherish ourselves. And so in the same way, husbands do their wives. These are high demands that the Lord gives us. And God commands to our weaknesses. If you husbands were good at loving your wives, the command wouldn't be here. We're not very good at it. If wives were already excellent at respecting and showing honor to their husbands, though, this command wouldn't be here. Men are generally good at respecting, but not so much the loving. You know, you think about it, when you see a little boy, what do little boys do? They brag about their accomplishments. They take the dare. They go to the high dive and make sure that everybody's watching so they can see, because they're earning respect. Women are generally good at loving, but not so much respecting. They're generally good at loving, but not so much at respecting sometimes. Men will respect a woman they don't love. You know, a guy will get divorced and say, well, she's a good wife, she's a good mother, I just don't love her anymore. Women will love men they don't respect. Women will, you know, there'll be some girl that's dating some deadbeat and she breaks up with him, and everybody's so excited. Yay, finally, we've been trying to get you. And then 6 weeks later, she's back with him. And what does she say? I love him. She has no respect for him. He's a total loser. She goes back to him because women will love a man they don't respect. Again, these are high demands that the Lord places for us. And to meet the demands, husbands must be walking with God. A man can't love his wife the way Christ loves the church without walking with Christ himself. Jesus said in John 15, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. The story is told in one of the Greek histories that the wife of one of the generals of Cyrus, king of Persia, this wife was accused of treachery. And she was condemned to die. And when the husband heard of it, he rushed to the palace. He burst into the throne room, which you don't do before an ancient king. But he threw himself on the floor and cried out to the king, "Oh, my Lord Cyrus, take my life instead of hers. Let me die in her place." And Cyrus, who by all historical accounts was a noble man and an extremely sensitive man, was very touched by the offer. And he gave the husband and wife back to each other and let the wife go free. And as they walked away happily, the husband said to his wife, "Did you notice how kindly the king looked at us when he gave you the pardon?" And the wife replied, "I had no eyes for the king. I saw only the man who is willing to die in my place." That's the idea. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Yes, the husband is a wife's head, just as Christ is head of the church. But remember, husbands, a head has a crown of thorns involved. Sacrifice, giving, cleansing. And the man who sacrifices for his wife will be respected by her, and he'll have a great marriage. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we all need help in marriage. And I know not everyone is in here is married. Some have been married, and some hope to, and maybe probably will be married someday. We all need to think rightly about it. We need your word to govern all of our thoughts on this. Marriage is such a great tool that you have given to make us better, to make us more godly, more like Christ. And I pray, oh God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would please change husbands today, change thinking today. Cause husbands, future husbands, to become more loving, more giving, more sanctifying, more cleansing, more able to present wives who are wholly devoted to you and wholly devoted to them in a holy and righteous way. We pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of response is this little chorus, "Oh, how he loves you and me," which we're going to sing in light of this reminder that the Lord Jesus sacrificed himself for us. Let's stand together and sing. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen.
The Lord has used this time today to stimulate your thinking I'd love a chance to get to know you a little bit better and have some conversation. Please feel free to reach out to me in whatever ways comfortable for you. You can come by the office, or I'll buy you lunch, or just a cup of coffee. Of course, you can always come by on Sunday mornings, and we can meet face to face.
Our new service time is 9:30 a.m.